Well, amen. It's a joy to see you here today. Wow, I thought the only snow you were going to get to see was the snow on this mountain, but amen. Isn't it beautiful? I said a little earlier to somebody, I just had to get it in, you know me, I got to get it in, you know. I said, you know why we have those glasses in those windows that are clear now? See, you'd have missed all that beautiful snow during our worship time as Leon was leading us in worship there. You wouldn't have been able to look out the window and just recognize that your sins, red as scarlet, but the promise is white as snow. Amen. Amen. We ought to give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. What he did for us. What he did for us that we could never, ever do for ourselves. Leon, if I have to chase this stand down here this morning, we're going to nail it down, all right? We're going to get a hammer and nail and nail it down. Well, Roma and I, as you all are well aware, are the proud parents, grandparents, I mean, hey, don't count God out, okay? Never count him out. But we're the proud grandparents of Archie Lee, born 1/38 Monday afternoon, and that little rascal just came here already knowing what he was supposed to do and just went to work immediately, and he's been a blessing to our heart. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Oh, amen, grandparents. Nothing like it. Oh, my. You know, lots happened since Rome and I have come here. You know, we weren't grandparents when we came. And now we're grandparents. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a wonderful blessing. Well, we're continuing our series. Tonight, we'll be with Tommy and Joyce and at 236 Massey Court, Chapin, right? 230. Circle, 236 Massey Circle, Chapin. Okay, Massey Circle. All right, I better put that in my phone. If I don't, I won't find it. I've been by there a time or two, I think. But we're continuing our series today, and we're looking forward to the end of this month, March the 26th. When we see, I'm a granddaddy, and I'm kind of anyway. But March the 26th, the last Sunday in this month, and we're looking forward to having Dr. Chuck McAllister with us. And I saw Terry Cotney. Yeah, there you are, Terry. You won't want to miss this man. He is involved in Wounded Warriors. And so I want to invite you and all your friends to come. Be sure and invite your neighbors, your coworkers, and your friends and family to come and hear Dr. McAllister Sunday morning at 10:30. And then on Monday through Wednesday, we'll start at 5:30 with a salad supper, and 6:45 will be pre-session music. 7 o'clock, the actual worship service will begin. So we're looking for a great time as we kind of return to Bethel. And if you do not know what that means, go back in the Old Testament and look when Jacob returned to Bethel and what it meant to go back and to rediscover, to reaffirm, to recommit his life to God. And certainly that's what we're asking God to do. Let me try to put this in perspective a little bit for you today. We finished the trumpets, and if you remember, the seventh trumpet contains the seven vials of Revelation. The seventh seal contained the seven trumpets. And we have people from time to time that say to me, and not that any of you have, but in the past when I have done a series of messages on prophecy, they will ask me, Pastor Johnny, what are you trying to do? You're trying to scare us. You're trying to, in fact, one lady in my first church said, you're scaring my children. And I said to her very lovingly, I said, if you will inform your teenage children, they'll not be afraid. They were not little children. They were teenage children. Who should have known, who should have been aware, who should have been taught by their mother and their father. Paul talks about in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, preaching the whole counsel of God. I think, and let me try to balance this out for you. I've tried to do that since I've been here. I can go back and can look back. I promised you when I came as your pastor that I would try to have a fresh word from God for you every Sunday morning. And I've sought to do that. Roma will tell you, none of these messages have been repeats. She's heard every message I've ever preached, except some that I preached when I was away in revival and she was not able to attend. And she can tell you that none of them are repeats. They're fresh off the skittle, so to speak, from the heart of God into my heart, poured into my heart. But I'm very passionate about this. And Paul, Paul said, woe is me. If I don't preach the whole counsel of God, if we're not careful, we hear people say this. Well, God is love. You need to preach more on love. Yes, that's exactly right. That's true. But in that love, listen to me. In that, because He does love, then He must be a fair and a just God. And a fair and a just God means that He will punish sin. And the proof that He will punish sin is He allowed His Son, think about that we were just talking about, to die in our place, to be crucified, to take upon Himself the sins past, present, and future of the entire world because of His holiness, because of His righteousness. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, there will come a time when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I personally believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we're living in that time frame today. You can build a church if you tell people how good they need to feel and can feel if they'll do this and do that and the other. You can fill a building. You see, people by nature, they've dealt with the world all week long, and they come to church on Sunday morning, and maybe they are somewhat stressed. Maybe they're somewhat frustrated. Maybe they're somewhat dealing with the issues of family, home, marriage, job, etc. that week, and they come to church, and they're looking for an uplift. Well, listen to me this morning. Nothing should uplift you more than to know that your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming back one day to redeem you out of this sin-cursed world. And the Bible says, Paul wrote in Romans to the Romans believers, that the whole world is under a curse. And you look around you today and you see some of the most ungodly things in the world happening. Just this past week, a son decapitates his mother's head. Stands in the yard holding it in America. That's not a foreign country. That's not a country that may be quote unquote labeled as paganism or worships idols, etc. That's America. We're living in that day and that time when lawlessness, and I tell you that, lawlessness, good is evil now, and evil is now good. I was just flipping through the channels that we've moved out of our house and moved in with Joni and Tim. And you understand why, I'm sure. There's a wah-wah here and a wah-wah there and a wah-wah over there. And when Archer cries, they both go to start crying. Oh, they love him to pieces, y'all. But then you got to try to tell Annie, oh, there's nothing wrong with him. He's okay. But every hour and a half, that baby's crying. He wants to be fed. I mean, he came here hungry, and he's not gonna miss a meal. And let you know that. And Asher is the same way. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to hear little Annie say, Ashy, Achy, Achy. They already know his name. How beautiful, how wonderful that is to look in their eyes and to see the love of God. And opposite from that is what I just mentioned to you. So please don't let Pastor Johnny upset you with these messages. Please understand that I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to edify you and strengthen you and build you up in your faith as we live in these critical days and critical times. So we're looking at our message today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 16. I want to read verses 1 and 2. So stand with me. Let's stand as we read those two verses in honor of God. Verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 16. This, of course, is the temple in heaven. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out your vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a foul and a painful sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon them who worshipped his name. Father God, this morning, as I deliver your word, remove me from the eyes of these people, magnify and exalt and glorify your Son. Draw people to you today, Father. I realize that probably everybody here, if not most here, are believers. But God, even in a group this size, perhaps there's someone who's never committed their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. May they realize, Father, that we're living in critical days and critical times. And may they understand, Father, that each time they hear the truth and they rebel against that truth in their life, in their heart, that their heart becomes hardened. And hardened to the point that one day your word tells us that they'll be unable to repent because they have chosen to reject the truth, your truth. They have chosen to reject your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your great salvation. So, Father, I pray that no one would leave this place today that does not know that they know that they know that they're your child by faith and repentance of their sins in what Jesus did for them on Calvary's cross when he died in their place, taking upon himself all the sin of all humanity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last week I mentioned something that there are scholars, theologians, and that see an overlapping of the seven seals and kind of like a layer, the seven seals, then the seven trumpets, and then the seven vials on top of that. Pastor Johnny does not. I see them all as separately, but I see them as growing in intensity or in magnification. And notice very carefully in verse 1 that we read that this is the wrath of God. Notice very carefully in verse 1 that also this wrath is poured out upon those who are left behind and who choose to receive the mark of the beast and those who worship the beast. Now you may say, Pastor Johnny, I would never do that. Listen to me this morning. If you hear the truth and you continue to harden your heart, you will one day accept and believe the lie. The lie is Satan himself incarnated into a person, a human being, that one day will step on the scene and who will have the answer to everything. He will be a leader such as the world has never known before except in the person of Jesus Christ. And he will so announce that he is that world leader. And he will command and demand that you reverence him and that you worship him and that no man, chapter 13 of Revelation, would be able to buy or sell except they have the name, the number, or the mark of the beast. Now, hear my heart this morning and hear what God is trying to say to us today through my heart. Those scholars who do that, they misinterpret certain passages of Scripture. And one passage is they misinterpret is this very first verse, because you will notice that the first vial of judgment follows those who have received the mark of the beast are the Antichrist. And verse 1 plainly states, as I said just a second ago, this is the wrath of God. So the mark of the beast, chapter 13, has to take place first. And then those in chapter 14 that receive the mark, the name of the number, have forever sealed their eternal destiny. You say, Pastor Johnny, I'll never do that. Now, hold on to what I'm about to say. Don't throw anything at me. Please don't get upset with me. Please don't get angry at me. Okay? Have you ever in your life seen the generation today receive tattoos all over their body like they receive them. Now, don't get angry with me. If you will allow somebody, and you are a professing believer, and you will allow somebody to do that to your body, if you're not careful and you harden your heart and you do not believe God and you do not trust God and His Word and what He has said in His Word, and you say that you will not receive the mark of the beast, my friend, when it comes to your life, when it comes to hunger, when it comes to being able to feed your family, when it comes to being able to feed a nursing, sucking baby, let me tell you something. If you are left behind during that period, you will believe the lie. And the reason you will believe the lie is because God will so change your heart and change your mind as He did Pharaoh's so that you cannot believe anything but a lie. Now don't get angry with me. Don't get upset with me. But you take home what Pastor Johnny just said and chew on it for just a minute. We are being conditioned today that anything is acceptable. Our world, even in so-called Christian America, is being conditioned today in our minds that we will compromise our Christian convictions and our Christian beliefs. We will compromise to satisfy this flesh. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm delivering to you the truth this morning, as hard as it is. It's a beautiful picture outside out there. I think about that snow, and we've already talked about it. And my friend, that's what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. But if you harden your heart and you rebel against Holy Spirit and you refuse and deny His mercy, His love, and His grace, and His salvation, He will cause you to believe a lie. He will give you that which you ask for. He will give you that which you desire. You say you have any scripture for that? I sure do. Read Romans chapter 1. If that's the lifestyle you want to live, He'll let you live that lifestyle. And your heart will become so hardened and so conditioned that you cannot repent. And I mentioned it last Sunday. Remember Judas? He wanted to repent and he could not repent. My friend, you listen to me this morning. You think God's going to treat him any different than He's going to treat me or you? So you have a choice this morning. You have a choice to turn from your sins, to repent of your sins, and by faith turn to God through Jesus Christ and believe that His shed blood on Calvary's cross will forgive you of all your sins and blot out all of your sins and bury your sins in His sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. And so that leads us to that first vial, the vial of boils upon mankind. I grew up in the day of malaria in the low country. I'm going to use a word. I'm just going to see how old some of you are. How many have ever heard of a carbuncle? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's a horrible, horrible boil that comes on your body. And the core gets so hard in the middle of it, it's like your little finger. I know this is gross to some of you this morning, but you need to hear the truth. And I'm bound to give you the truth. If you stay behind, if you reject Christ, if your loved ones reject Christ, if your friends and your neighbors reject Christ, if your co-workers reject Christ, if they refuse Christ and they're left behind and Jesus returns, they will believe the lie. And God will bring boils. The Greek word uses here calls them sores, ulcers, and malignancies. They're considered bad and evil, etc. Read the special warning in Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. What happens to those who receive the mark of the beast? Then that leads us to the second vial, the vial of blood. Oh, preacher, that can't happen. Well, it did in Egypt. It did in Egypt. If God did it once, He can surely do it again. He's the Creator. He's not bound by what you... Listen to me. He's not bound by what you and I want to interpret. to fit our particular position or to satisfy our minds or to comfort our hearts. He is not bound. He's bound by His Word. His Word is inerrant and it is fallible and it is truth without any mixture of error. And He is bound by His Word. Listen, if He was not bound by His Word, there wouldn't be any use for you to ask Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. He could choose to do it or not do it. He could be whimsical about it if He wanted to. But He's not a whimsical God. He doesn't do things by whimsical or by my goodness or your goodness. He does things according to His Word. He acts according to His Word. Somebody asked me one day, I want to hear God speak to me again in His Word. I want God to speak to me, get in His Word. I'd like to hear from God, get in His Word. I'd like to know what God has to say about this, get in His Word. He's already spoken about everything you and I will ever deal with in His Word. Listen to me this morning. If we didn't have nothing else but this Word, we have everything we need. Everything we need. Does He still speak to men today? Yes, I believe He does. Does He still speak to men today through dreams? Yes, I believe He does. Through visions? Yes, I believe He does. But those are not the primary ways that He speaks. He primarily speaks to us first through His Word, His inerrant and infallible Word, which is forever settled in heaven. God does nothing except by His Word. Therefore, He saves by His Word. Therefore, He will judge by His Word. Leads us to vial number three, the vial of blood upon the rivers and the fountains of water. Can you imagine turning on your faucet one day in your house? And the local Columbia Water Department has turned into blood. And blood begins to flow out of your taps. In the bathtub, in the shower head. Can you imagine one day standing there taking a shower? Notice in the seal judgments, it was a fourth. In the trumpet judgments, it was a third. But now it is upon everything. It is upon all. There's not a percentage. Everything in the sea dies, according to verse 3 of chapter 16. Every living soul in the sea dies. Every living soul in the fountains of water. They wanted blood. God's going to give them blood. They shed the blood of saints and prophets. They're still doing it today. Now God gives them what they wanted, just not as they wanted it. Jesus referred to it as the great tribulation, an unprecedented time of trouble which shall come upon the earth, according to Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 through 22. Except those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. This judgment is so final. It's so inclusive that unless you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior during that period of time. And my friend, if you've heard now, don't think you're going to wait till then to get saved. Why? Because God's going to harden your heart. You see, this is the time for you. Today is today of salvation, Paul writes. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next Sunday. Today. The Lord could come today and you would be left behind. But then there's the vial of the scorching sun. How many of you remember Al Gore? Don't raise your hands. But Al Gore has perpetuated something on this world, basically on this nation and the world as a whole. It's called global warming. And they're trying to blame it on everything imaginable. Well, I want to tell you something. One day there's going to be global warming. It won't be man-generated or man-caused. It'll be God Almighty who causes the sun to scorch the earth with such heat that men will blaspheme God because of the heat, and they will refuse to repent. Like the fourth trumpet, this is a heavenly starry judgment. Psalms 19, verse 1 says, listen to this. I go out every night. Oh, I love the Forum. You want to know why I love the Forum? There are not any nightlights there. I used to go out as a kid, and I'd just lay on the grass, on the ground, and I'd look up at the storm, the sky, the starry sky. Psalms 19, verse 1. Turn to it real quick. Turn to it real quick. Psalms 19, verse 1. Say it with me. I heard somebody say it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Oh, God has revealed Himself in the heavens above. He has revealed Himself to us in the heavens. You ask me, well, those poor people haven't heard. Yes, they have. They've seen. They've seen. And if you're searching for God, God will make Himself known to you, just like He did the eunuch that He took Philip out of revival and sent him down to the Ethiopian eunuch in the Gaza Strip. One man. Why? Because he was hungering and searching for God. My friend, when you hunger and search for God in your life, God will reveal and manifest Himself to you. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiworks. Day unto day uttereth speech. Romans 1, verses 18 through 23 says, and they changed the glory of God into a lie. Can you imagine? They changed the glory of God into a lie. Notice verse 9 says again, and they refused to repent. They refuse to repent. You say, preacher, that never happened to me. Don't take a chance. Please don't take a chance here this morning. If you're in this service and you're not saved, don't take a chance. It's not worth it. Listen to me. Your eternal destiny hangs in the balance of what you do with what you hear and how you respond to what you hear. Don't take a chance. Don't let Satan lie to you and tell you that there's another day coming. That you can put it off. That it's not going to happen today. We don't know. It's imminent. Remember those messages a little while back? Remember in that message I said it's imminent. The rapture of the church is imminent. And if you're not saved when the rapture of the church comes, you're going to be left behind. And you will believe the lie. You know why? Because God said you will. You think you're smarter than the Creator who created you and you the creature? You think you know more than He does? You think you're wiser than Him? You think you was here before He was? Read the book of Job, and he asked Job all the questions. Job, where was you when I hung the starry sky? You weren't even in existence. And you're going to tell me? So my friend, don't take a chance on that. Please don't take a chance on that. The fifth vow is upon the beast and his throne and they that worship him. Great darkness comes and pain is now multiplied. All the previous vials are added together. Men gnaw their tongues because of the pain. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever bitten your tongue? Or just the side of your mouth. And that was just a little. Listen to me this morning. Listen carefully. Listen to me. Knowing your tongue will be less pain than the pain that you're experiencing. And you want to stay here and experience that? You want to stay here and have a part of that? You want to stay here and allow that to happen to you? Think through your reasoning this morning. Think through your understanding this morning. Ask God to give you wisdom to understand what He's saying to you in His great and magnanimous love, His mercy, and His grace. Why does He have a right to judge because he gave heaven's glory for mine and your and the whole world's salvation. And one day, listen to me, one day he's going to call it all unto himself. It's amazing when mankind is confronted with his righteous judgment or the righteous judgment of God, it only deepens their blasphemy of God. Why? Because of the condition of their heart. Let me just throw this out for you to think about. It's not even in my notes, but it just came to my mind. Why do you think that James would write and say to us, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and that tomorrow? Do you know what you're going to do tomorrow? Do you even know what you're going to do this afternoon? Oh, yeah, you've got some plans, and yeah, I've got some plans to be at Tom and Joyce's tonight at 5:45, and I hope some of you will come. I pray you will come. I pray you will decide this important enough to come. And I pray that you'll make it a priority. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know that I'm going to be there. I have no guarantee that I'm going to be home. I have no guarantee that I'm going to finish this message. My breath is in his hands. He can call the spirit out of this body anytime he's ready to. We're like grass. We're like the flower that blooms and then it vanishes. The grass, it grows up for a short while and then it withers and it's gone. Then that leads us to vial number 6. Three unclean spirits like frogs. I got amused yesterday. We were watching. I've learned about Tech the Red Tractor on TV with Annie and Asha. I've learned about Nature Cat. Some of the others I can't even remember now, but I've learned about all of them, and I'm mesmerized by watching Annie and Asher, and their daddy's trying, or their mama's trying to feed them, and he's in between the two of them, and Asher's like this, and Annie's like this, in their high chairs as they're trying to watch Nature Cat and all the little sing-alongs that teach them how to add and numbers, and you can ask Asher or Annie right now what color Papa's tractors are, and they'll tell you it's red, and they're just exposed to a lot there. They're very, very smart little children, not because Miss Roma and I are their grandparents or Joni and Tim are their parents, but Roma did the same thing with Joni and John at a very early age. She started pouring into their minds, pouring into their hearts. She said to me one day, I came home, she said to me, Johnny, her mind, this was when Joni was a baby, she said, her mind is a vacuum. We have to put all the right things in because the enemy is going to make sure he puts the wrong things in. I've never forgotten that. I've already got a Pentecostal Baptist. They can already fix their hands and pray. And when we finish praying, we say, praise the Lord. I told Joni one day, get ready. If John the Baptist could be filled with his spirit, hello, listen. Why am I telling you all that? Because as real as Holy Spirit is, demons and Satan are just as real. And so these three unclean spirits, the Euphrates River formed the boundary of Eastern Rome, the Roman Empire. But amazingly, also in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18 and following, it formed the boundary of the land that God gave to Abraham and his seed forever. The rising sun rulers and their hordes of over 200 million plus men will soon march through this corridor of history. Why? Because God is going to allow three demonic spirits. The Greek word that's used there, and I'm not trying to impress you. You all know I use very little Greek before you are Hebrew. I do know enough, and I know when it's Greek to me also. So, but the Greek word that's used there is diamonose. And it is the spirit of deception. From the mouth of the dragon, from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the false prophet. Now, interestingly enough, back up to chapter 3 of Revelations. Revelation quickly with me. Chapter 3. I want you to see something real quick. Okay? Chapter 3. In chapter 3 and verse 10, the church at Philadelphia was one of only two churches that were not told to repent. I'll let you do your homework and find out what the other one is. Okay? Go home and read them. Find out which one was the other one. Okay? But verse 10 says this, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown." Now look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. The only people that receive crowns are the bride of Christ. And the reason they receive those crowns, and the only reason they receive those crowns, and remember that was in the five crown message a while back, was to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Now, as real as Holy Spirit is, so is Satan. Except he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. And in one sense of the word, we're a lot like him. He can change his mind at will. In fact, if you'll study Isaiah chapter 14, two books later, Ezekiel chapter 28, you'll understand more about who he is. This is the Laodicean church. This is the church and the people that Jesus said to, "I wish that you were cold or hot." In other words, be something. Take a stand somewhere. Be something. "I wish you were cold or hot, but instead you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm," lukewarm Christians are not saved Christians. They're Christians in name. They're believers in name. And you can't hardly tell them from the wheat because they're tares. And God said he would send his angels in the last days to divide the wheat from the tares. Lest trying to pull up the tares, you uproot wheat. So God didn't call Pastor Johnny to go around and to determine what's wheat and what's tares and try to pull the tares up and get rid of them. That's God's job. That's not my job. But in this 7-year period called the tribulation, in this vile judgment, those three unclean spirits are going to be released out of the mouth of the beast, Antichrist, out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, and out of the false prophet. Well, I'm not going to try to tell you today who I think the false prophet is. I know who the beast is, in the sense that the dragon, I mean. I'm not going to try to tell you who I think the false prophet is or the Antichrist is. I have no idea. But I want you to understand this morning, God's going to release them one day. And they're going to open up the way for the hordes of the east to come upon Israel. Now I hear all this talk, well, they're coming to get oil, they're coming to get this, they're coming to get that, they're coming to get the other. And it depends on who you read behind, and that's okay, and I'm not being critical of that. But listen very carefully to what I'm going to tell you here. Oil is just a side item. Salt out of the salt sea is just a side item. They're coming because they hate God Almighty. They're coming because they hate the Semitic people, the Jews because God chose them. And God chose, and God placed His name in Jerusalem. And God established Jerusalem to be His city forever and ever and ever. That's why He doesn't say the new Ballantyne. I saw the new Ballantyne ascend. Hello? Or the new Irmo. Or the new Chapin. Or the new Columbia. He says, I saw the new Jerusalem. You see? Jerusalem is first mentioned in the Bible when Abraham paid Melchizedek tithes and he was a king and priest of Salem. God chose that place to put His name. And the Bible says that He will never remove that place as His place and His chosen place. And Satan can't stand it. Therefore, he will do everything within his power to try to destroy what represents God. That's why they're coming. That leads us to the last vial quickly. And it's the vial of hail upon the air. Why? Because somebody is the prince and the power of the air. In fact, when the angel is told to do it, the response of the angel said, it is done. Read it. Go home and read it. It is done. In the Greek, that is eerily close to and almost exactly alike what Jesus said on the cross. Remember? Say it with me. It is finished. God's final judgment during this period of time. Mankind still refusing to repent. Sadly, men continue to blaspheme the Creator God. Their hearts have now been hardened to the point of no return, no repentance towards God. I want to ask you a question. Why would anyone take a chance? Why? Why would you take a chance? If you do not know Christ as your Savior here this morning, if you've never bowed your heart, listen to me. You ought to be able to go back to that place in your life when you know that you had an encounter with God and you turned to Him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not necessarily talking about a moment that you felt guilty. I'm not necessarily talking about a moment that you may have walked down the aisle in some church and may even went through baptismal water. But I'm talking about, can you go back to the place in your life? I can remember the day. I can remember the month, the day, and the year. I grew up in church. Christened as a baby, sprinkled when I was a year old, and dipped when I was 12. But lost. 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 I listened to Daryl Cheeks this morning share his testimony of how in 2008 he was radically saved. Have you been radically saved? Has Christ transformed your life? If you're still holding on to the world and trying to hold on to God, it doesn't work. And that's a good indication. Listen to me. That's a good indication that you need to examine your salvation. And you need to let Holy Spirit, you need to ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you wherein you stand. Would you bow your heads, please?